It's time for a different take. This is Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews. Every morning starting at 5, we give you the latest local Atlanta news. Sports news doesn't stop, and we're here to get you caught up on the latest Atlanta sports news and more.
The Hometown Take is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Now, here's Dylan.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy Dylan Matthews live in the Kia Studios giving you the Hometown Take. Make sure you follow radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Good Tuesday morning to you. Hope y'all are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all the first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my early gym goers getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my people already at work on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospital workers out there working around the clock, making sure that people get the good medicine, treatment, and care that they need. Shout out to all my early morning, late night dentists, dental workers, dental assistants out there, making sure that people keep their pearly whites nice, clean, and shiny this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night food industry workers serving up the good nourishment for all my early risers this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night vending machine technicians, making sure that people can get their snack on early this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night UPS drivers, UPS workers, FedEx drivers, FedEx workers, Amazon drivers, Amazon workers, FedEx, my FedEx pilots out there as well. All my early morning, late night airport workers out there as well, including my volunteer air traffic control workers. Appreciate you. Shout out to all my early morning, late night front, rear, load, and truck drivers out there. All my bus drivers riding around and getting it, making sure that people get from home to work and the kiddos get from home to school in a safe and timely fashion. Shout out to all my early morning, late night local 728 transportation drivers in the film industry, all my local 613 IBEW workers out there as well. Shout out to all my early morning, late night local hospitality workers, hotel workers out there, making sure that people are having a great stay wherever that may be. All my early morning, late night local donut makers, all my local mailmen, mailwomen, postal workers out there, making sure that people get their mail and packages in a safe and timely fashion as well. All my local funeral home workers, and of course, all my people listening in the bed right now as well. 5:03 here on a Tuesday, and I hope you all are doing well. Appreciate you spending your Tuesday and get your day started off right with me, with your boy. I appreciate you, and we got plenty to get into this morning. We will get into the NBA playoffs as the Knicks continue to just, I hate to say it, but put BTA to teams. I mean, goodness gracious, it seemed like, okay, this was going to be a little bit of a fight, you know, first quarter, midway through the second, and then the Knicks just closed out the half so strong and go on a run, like I think an 8-0 run or something like that, close out the half strong, and then, I mean, they kept that same exact energy going into the third quarter and turned that game into an absolute blowout quickly into the third quarter. Timberwolves, Spurs, though, completely different story. Ant-Man said, oh, y'all thought I was going to miss the first two games? Nah, I want all the smoke. And I want all the smoke in San Antonio. And guess what? The Timberwolves went and got the smoke, and they went and got home field advantage from the San Antonio Spurs as they win game one, 104-102 in San Antonio to steal home court advantage. That was huge for the Timberwolves as they're trying to make it, I think, what, this would be four? Either three or four straight Western Conference Finals for the Timberwolves. I think it's something like that. It seems crazy, I know, but it would be something of that nature. Either way, that was a big first win for the Minnesota Timberwolves as they took down the San Antonio Wemby and the San Antonio Spurs. Wemby had 12 blocks last night. 12 blocks. Goodness gracious, Wemby. Absolutely crazy. He had 7 in the first half, I believe, but regardless, not enough to get the W against the Minnesota Timberwolves. But we'll get into that here in probably 15 minutes. We'll dive back into the NBA playoffs, what happened last night. We'll give you a preview of the game ones we'll get tonight. So we'll dive into that in about another 15 minutes from now. But I do want to start with the Atlanta Braves, you know. It was crazy because Walt Weiss talked about after the game they won that first game they won in Colorado, 8-6, when they were down 6-0. And, you know, he said, sometimes you got to win games that, you know, sometimes you got to steal games. And sometimes, you know, you gotta win those games where it's like, yeah, we stole one. Probably shouldn't have won that one, but we found a way to get it done. Well, last night was unfortunately like the opposite. Last night felt very much like, okay, we got this one. We got this one in good control. Let's go ahead and finish this one out, and we should win this game. And unfortunately, that did not happen. Braves lose last night 5-4, and it really all went downhill in one inning for the Bravos last night. J.R. Richie was looking good, and things were all good for J.R. Richie until they weren't. And just, again, unfortunate loss for the Braves last night. Drake Baldwin, you got a few homers from a few different people. Drake Baldwin started off the scoring in the top of the first, leadoff home run, Ron Acuña Jr. style. He says, it's all right, Ronnie. I'll hold down the leadoff spot for you, and hits a leadoff home run. And so Braves got an early 1-0 lead. And then it was just 1-0, just felt like we were cruising through the game all the way up until the top of the sixth. And then, boom, three homers in one inning. Ozzie Albies, homers. Matt Olson, homers. And they go back-to-back, Ozzie Albies and Matt Olson. And then Mauricio Dubon lines out to second. And then, boom, another homer again, Austin Riley. Three homers in the top of the sixth for the Braves, all off Logan Gilbert, who was cruising until that inning himself. Braves go up 4-0. The vibes are high. We're like, all right, let's go ahead and get us a dub to start the series here in Seattle. We feeling good. Well, in the bottom of the sixth, things started to get ugly. J.R. Richie started off by walking Randy Arozarena, and then also walked Canzone, and then Rally hit a three-run homer. That made it 4-3. Then you go, okay, that ain't great, but, you know, we're still all right. So then after J.R. Richie gives up the three-run homer in the bottom of the sixth, they take him out, bring in Tyler Kinley, and starts off nicely, gets a strikeout, struck out Young, but then walks Garver, but then strikes out Rivas. And so it's like, okay, just need one more out, and we can escape this inning with the lead still. Nope. J.P. Crawford homers to right, two-run homer, and the Mariners get the 5-4 lead, and they would not look back after that, and that is how things would finish. So, again, it was one of those ones where felt like you should win, but one bad inning, two home runs, all it took, some walks, three-run homer, another walk, and a two-run homer was all it took for the Bravos to lose that one after you get four home runs, four solo shots, not enough. And, you know, they always say if you're going to give up homers, make sure they're solo shots. And, you know, for Logan Gilbert, that was the saving grace. He did give up four homers to the Braves, but they were all solo homers. And Braves only gave up two homers, but they were a three-run homer and a two-run homer. And that turned out to be the difference. So, look, you would have wished J.R. Richie could have had a little bit better of an outing. And again, it wasn't even necessarily bad. It was just, you know, the three-run homer given up. And his official stat line finishes as five innings, four hits, three runs given up. All of them earned six walks. That's the thing you really want to change if you're J.R. Richie. Two strikeouts and gave up the one home run. So, again, unfortunate for the Braves there. But look, at the end of the day, you can still go win the series. And if you bounce back tonight, go in tonight, and then go in the series, it'll be fine. It'll be what it is. And look, let's be realistic too. The Braves are not going to, I hope I'm wrong, and I hope they somehow miraculously do, because if they do, it would be the greatest season of all time. But there's a 99.999999% chance that the Braves are not going to win every series this year, okay? So, if it's going to happen, it wouldn't be so bad that it happens against an AL team and you're on the road against the AL, okay? So, it is what it is. But hopefully, look, Still, obviously, hoping the Braves can keep that streak alive for as long as possible. And if they go win tonight, they'll have a chance to go get the rubber match on hump day. So we'll see if they're able to do that. First pitch tonight set for 9:40, just like last night. And tonight we're going to have the elder statesman, Bryce Elder, on the mound. George Kirby going to be on the mound for the Mariners. George Kirby has had a pretty good season in his own respect. Bryce Elder has been wheeling and dealing so far this season, too. Bryce Elder, 3-1 on the year, 1.88 ERA, 1.05 whip, and 43 innings pitched. And for George Kirby, he's 4-2 this year, 3 ERA, right smack dab on 3. 3 ERA, 1.13 whip, and 45 innings pitched for George Kirby. So there you go. There was some good news that came out of, actually, two pieces of good news that came out of last night. We did see Sean Murphy back. Murph is back. Sean Murphy made his season debut after having that offseason hip surgery, having to do the rehab, coming back from that. Sean Murphy back in the lineup for the Bravos, was catching last night, so good to see Murph back. Jonah Heim, unfortunately, after having a 5 RBI day, it's just crazy how things work out like that sometimes, unfortunately, but after having a 5 RBI day in the season finale against the Colorado Rockies, they say, you know, Jonah, that was great and all, but we got to designate you for assignment, big dog. That's just how the cookie crumbled. But look, you can go get picked up, and that's a good way to go out. You know what I'm saying? That's a great way to go out. But the Braves did reinstate Sean Murphy yesterday, and he made his season debut. And again, the club designated catcher Jonah Heim for assignment. The other good news that came out of yesterday's game is that Matt Olson, I told you that he hit a homer last night. It was his 11th homer of the season. Well, guess what? It was the 12th of the season. Let me not short Matt Olson. It was Matt Olson's 12th homer, but his 300th of his career. Congratulations to Matt Olson. He hit home run number 300, and that made him just the 166th player to reach the milestone of 300 career home runs. Of Atlanta has 158 with the Braves after spending his first six seasons with the Athletics. So he has more than half of his homers with the Braves. So there you go. He's been doing it ever since he got here to the ATL. So congratulations to Matt Olson, who also leads the National League in home runs, by the way, with 12. So look, it sucked the Braves lost the way they did after being up 4-0. You feel like the Braves should be able to close that one out. A couple of bad innings, but bright side, Matt Olson staying hot, Drake Baldwin staying hot, Ozzie Albee staying hot, and it feels like Austin Riley is getting out of that slump too after hitting a couple of home runs in close succession. So those are all good things, especially with Ron Acuña Jr. out. You want guys in this offense to continue to stay hot when you talk about the big boppers like Matt Olson, Ozzie Albee, Austin Riley, Drake Baldwin. You're going to need those guys to carry the offense while Ronnie La Bestia is out, and that's exactly what they're doing. So hopefully you can get a little bit better pitching and just – and really, I ain't even put it that way because, again, hey, J.R. Richie was good. He just had one bad inning. And Tyler Kinley, unfortunately, gave up the two-run go-ahead homer. And so it was just one bad inning by Braves pitching. One bad inning. You gave up all 5 runs in one inning. And they were off of 2 homers. So you just hope the Braves don't have another bad inning and hope they get some good pitching from Bryce Elder tonight and can bounce back, get right back to their winning ways and get a W tonight in Seattle and be able to go for the series win on Wednesday. But when we come back here on the Hometown Take, we will dive into the NBA playoffs, dive into everything that was game one between the New York Knicks and the Philadelphia 76ers and game one between the Minnesota Timberwolves and the San Antonio Spurs. And look, the question has to be asked, are the Knicks just hot right now or are they legit NBA Finals contenders? Got to talk about it. I know it's a conversation I don't want to have, but we do have to have it. We'll talk about it next year on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Tuesday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Taking a look at the top local sports stories with the Hometown Take
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Tuesday morning. Hope you all are doing well. I appreciate you all tuning in. Make sure you follow the radio station at 92.9 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. And make sure you download that free Odyssey app so you can listen to the radio station wherever you are and whenever you want to. Once you got that free Odyssey app downloaded on your smartphone and all your smart devices, make sure you search for the radio station 92.9 The Game. Once you find the radio station, follow and subscribe to the station and follow and subscribe to all the great shows on the station as well. My show, obviously, The Hometown Take, The Morning Shift, The Steakhouse, Midday Show with Andy and Randy Dukes and Bell, Chris Thompson Knight, all the great shows during the weeknight as well. The Intersection with my girl Noelle White, who's holding it down behind the glass right now, doing a great job as always, and she does a great job with Jason Longshore as well on The Intersection Thursday nights right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We also got Prep Sports Nation every Wednesday night with my guy Damian Day Lewis, and The Night Drive with my guy Dom Taroski every Monday night. So check those weeknight shows out and all the great shows on the weekend as well. Sam and Greg from the Diamond with Grant McCauley, Cosball Game Time, all of them. Follow them, subscribe to them. When you do that, then you'll really be in the game, because then you'll get live push notifications about when shows go live. You'll get live push notifications about when shows are having guests on live. You'll be able to get live put up. You'll also get live push notifications about when shows are having new audio and articles posted to the website. You'll be able to go back and listen to your favorite shows in their entirety. You'll also be able to go back and listen to your favorite interviews and segments from your favorite shows as well. You'll be able to do all that and more with the free Odyssey app. So download that thing on your smartphone and all your smart devices today. All right, let's get into some NBA playoff talk, shall we? I know it hurts that the Atlanta Hawks are no longer in it. And we do have to talk about the New York Knicks, unfortunately. But look, we can all be Philly fans for this series. You know, it's not going to hurt. We can all be rooting against the Knicks for this series. So we can do that, and we can do that together, and we can talk about the game in that fashion. But honestly, not great fashion to talk about that Knicks 76ers game one, as from the perception of a Philly fan, or a Philly fan, a 76ers fan last night, because they got dusted. 137-98 was the final score in that game one of their second round series. And look, the Knicks just came out swinging. It really started about halfway through the second quarter, and they closed the half really strong. And then in that third quarter, it was just, they came out even hotter, it felt like, from how they ended the first half to where they started in the second half. So it just seemed unfair. They were making tough shots, and the Knicks are just hot right now. I mean, I really don't know what else to say besides they are just shooting the lights out, and they've gotten hot at the right time. And look, that's part. You want to be playing some of your best basketball and during the playoffs. And really, for any team, you want to be playing at your best during the playoffs. It goes for baseball, hockey, soccer, whatever. You want to be playing your best while the games mean and count for the most. And right now, that's exactly what the New York Knicks are doing. They became the first team in NBA history to win three straight postseason games by at least 25 points. And yeah, that goes back to the Hawks series. Whatever. But they've been continuing a wave that began midway through the first round against Atlanta, shooting 63% from the field and leading by 40 points. So, I mean, they have just been, like I said, shooting lights out. And then if you go to last night, as far as their shooting numbers go, This is like video game numbers. When we talk about how well they're shooting, they shot 63% from the field and 51% from three. Like, that can't continue. That's why I posed the question. I was like, are they just on a crazy shooting run right now? Or are they like actually like this? Because they can't actually be like this. They can't. I mean, OG Anunoby missed one shot all night. He went 7 for 8 from the field, 2 of 2 from three. Mikal Bridges missed 3 shots all night. He went 7 of 10 from the field, 3 of 5 from three. Jalen Brunson missed 6 shots all night, 12 of 18 from the field, 3 of 6 from three. Just ridiculous. Their bench was even cooking. Now, their bench was cooking a lot during garbage time, but still. And the 76ers didn't shoot, like, terrible. 41% from the field, not great. But they shot 37% from three. That's not bad. It's not great, but that's not bad. It's like league average. So it's just like, man, it just feels like the Knicks just got hot shooting-wise, and they've gotten into a rhythm, and they have not cooled off yet. And it feels like at some point they're going to cool off, but we shall see. So, honestly, if I'm the 76ers, yes, I'm sure there's adjustments that can be made defensively. Offensively, I would like to see Joel Embiid play less on the perimeter. I feel like he's bailing out Karl Anthony Towns by playing on the perimeter. Karl Anthony Towns and Mitchell Robinson, for that matter, because he got them into some early foul trouble. Like, I think Cat got a quick 2. Mitchell Robinson got into some early foul trouble, I think. They were doing the hack of Mitchell Robinson. They were doing that scheme, that strategy, and that seemed to be working. But you can't necessarily keep going with that for too long. But regardless, I think the 76ers, again, to me, if anything, I think has to change. Joel Embiid needs to go in the paint more. And now, he didn't have a great shooting night. He was 3 of 11 from 3. He didn't take too many threes. He was only 0 for 2 from 3, but just little fadeaway jumpers, the little mid-range. Man, go in the paint. Get your butt in the paint, back him down, hit him with a little baby hook or something. So it just felt like he played a little too soft for me in this one. And we'll see how the 76ers fare in Game 2. But, I mean, the Knicks, there's no way they can keep up this type of shooting. I mean, 63% from the field and 51% from three is absolutely nuts. Nuts. And so if they can even keep up this level of shooting, like a little bit, like shooting, 50% from the field, 40% from three, that's still going to be tough for the 76ers to overcome. So we'll see how hot the Knicks stay. But the 76ers going to try and bounce back. And look, they were down 3-1 to the Celtics, so it's not like they're new to adversity. They were just down 3-1 to the 2-seeded Boston Celtics and the favorites in the East last round, and they came back and got it. So no way, shape, or form is this series over by any stretch of the imagination, but definitely a rough one last night for the 76ers. And I think that was the largest playoff win, like the largest margin of victory by the Knicks in Madison Square Garden last night. So there you go. Let's move on to the second game, the other game that happened last night. It was another game, one of second round. This one out in the West. The Minnesota Timberwolves taking down the San Antonio Spurs, 104-102. Ant-Man said, y'all thought I was going to miss, but I ain't missing. I ain't ducking no smoke. I'm here. Remember, he had that hyperextended knee and bone bruise in his left knee, I believe it was, his left leg, later in that first round series against the Nuggets. And it was expected that he was at least going to miss games 1 and 2. And he said, nah, I'm here. I'm ready to go. Let's get it. And look, he did come off the bench, but off the bench, did pretty darn well. Played 25 minutes, 18 points, 8 of 13 from the field, 2 of 3 from 3. Did his thing. Julius Randle, 21 and 10. Rudy Gobert, 7 and 10. Michael Conley had 12. Terrence Shannon Jr. had 16. Jaden McDaniels had 16 as well. Naz Reid gave you 12 off the bench. So nice team effort there from the T-Wolves. 46% from the field, 38% from 3. And look, the Spurs, they could not do anything from three-point range. They shot 28% from the three-point line. They did shoot 45% from the field, so that was good. Wemby had 11 points, 15 rebounds, 5 assists, and 12 blocks. That man had 7 blocks in the first half. He was sending everything out of there, but just couldn't quite do last night offensively, the Spurs, to get past the Timberwolves. This looks like it's going to be a fun series now. Zant-Man continues to get healthier and healthier. That knee and that bone in his knee continues to feel better and better. Could be something here. We'll see. And look, I still feel like the Spurs probably win this series, but I ain't going to put nothing past that man. There's been a few times where I thought, ooh, it's going to be tough for the Timberwolves to find a way to win, but they find a way to win. Ant-Man is just like that. And the Timberwolves are just, look, Jaden McDaniels is getting better and better as a player too. Julius Randle has put together some good games here this postseason so far, so cannot count out the Timberwolves as they have proven to, you know, be just fine without Dante DiVincenzo so far, and it's going to be very interesting to see how the rest of the series continues to play out. And look, this is, you have some intriguing matchups here when you talk about Stephon Castle, Anthony Edwards, De'Aaron Fox, and Michael Conley. Obviously, Wemby and Rudy is an interesting one. So I'm very interested to see these matchups continue to play out. Dylan Harper played well off the bench, gave him 18 points. Keldon Johnson gave him 11. It was actually Julian Champagne that led all scores, and I think that was ultimately the problem. Wemby didn't have a great night from the field. He was 5 of 17 from the field, 0 of 8 from 3. And look, I understand getting Rudy out there on the perimeter is not necessarily a bad thing if you're Wemby, but you want to, I think if you're Wemby, you want to try and get Rudy out on the perimeter to try and go by him. But Rudy held his own too, and Victor Wembanyama goes 0 of 8 from 3. De'Aaron Fox went 0 of 4 from 3. So felt like the Spurs kind of died by the three last night, and that was part of the result we got. That was part of the reason why we got the result we got between the Timberwolves and the Spurs. So Timberwolves take game one, and they have home court advantage. Mission already accomplished for the Timberwolves. They've already gotten one game in San Antonio, and look, be great if they can get two, but even if they lose next game, they still very much have the upper hand in the series. So we will see how those games play out. We'll get a pair of game ones tonight as the other two second round matchups in the East and West get going. Cavaliers Pistons at 7 o'clock on NBC and Peacock. And you'll get Lakers Thunder on NBC and Peacock as well, starting at 8:30. Cavs Pistons starting at 7. Again, depending on what's going on with Luka, it'll be very interesting to see how this series plays out, because if you get a fairly healthy Luka, I think the Lakers can give the Thunder some trouble. I still think it's ultimately going to be Spurs and Thunder in the Western Conference Finals, but Lakers and Timberwolves could give the Thunder and Spurs, respectively, some problems. So we're going to see. We already see the Timberwolves giving the Spurs problems. I think Lakers could do the same. And the Cavs, Pistons. The Pistons' defense, I think we'll be able to slow down the Cavaliers' offense, but the Pistons' offense can't afford to have any ruts either. And we know they went through some ruts, just like the Magic went through some ruts in that series. The Pistons also went through some ruts as well. So we'll see if the Pistons' offense can be consistent enough. Their defense is going to do enough to keep them in the game, I believe. But can their offense be consistent enough to take down the Cavaliers in four games? That's going to be the biggest question for me. All right, when we come back here on the Hometown Take, we will get into some NFL headlines here on a Tuesday morning as the Packers got their QB2. And we got more to get into as well. That's coming up next year on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Tuesday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Saturday, Atlanta United hosts Montreal.
Game time 7:30.
Catch every minute of the action here.
Our Atlanta United play here.
Shot! Score!
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Taking a look at the top local sports stories with the Hometown Take.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take. Live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Tuesday morning. Hope y'all are doing well. I appreciate you all tuning in. Before we talk a little NFL football, I need to let you know that each Wednesday night, you need to join Damian Day-Day Lewis for Prep Sports Nation. It's a comprehensive look at the teams and athletes making news in high school sports across the state. It's brought to you by Ingles. Low prices, love the savings. That's Prep Sports Nation Wednesday nights on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Been talking about a few different topics here over the course of 44 minutes and counting. Final segment here on the Hometown Take. Then the morning shift coming up at the top of the hour. It's the meathead edition of the morning shift. Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan going to be hanging out with you, and I'll be chipping in with them here and there as well, hanging out. Allie Mack getting some much-deserved R&R, and she'll be back on Thursday. So we'll be excited to have Allie Mack in the building, but nothing like a little meathead edition of the morning shift to get your Tuesday morning started off right as well, too. So we'll be catching up with the fellas here at the top of the hour. But been talking about the Braves. Unfortunate loss last night for them as they lose 5-4 to the Seattle Mariners. After they were up 4-0, you got four solo home runs from your bats last night. Drake Baldwin, Ronald Acuña Jr. style, led off with a home run in the top of the first. Then in the top of the sixth inning, you got home runs respectively from Matt Olson, Ozzie Albies, and Austin Riley. Actually, Matt Olson and Ozzie Albies went back to back with it. And then Austin Riley, they almost went back to back to back, but Mauricio Dubon broke up the back to back to back with a line out. But still, after having a four-run lead, J.R. Richie was going well. But then gets in a little bit of trouble, walks two batters, gives up a three-run homer. Then Tyler Kinley comes in after J.R. Richie gives up the three-run homer. And this happened in the bottom of the sixth, by the way. So Mariners came right back and answered the Braves three home runs, three solo home runs with a three-run homer and a two-run homer. So just tough. It was a bad inning from J.R. Richie, and then a rough mistake from Tyler Kinley that ultimately led to the Braves' loss. Because once Tyler Kinley came in, he walked about. He got a strikeout, started things off well, but then got a walk, and then J.P. Crawford hit the go-ahead two-run homer off of Tyler Kinley. So, again, just a tough inning for the Bravos. And look, I mentioned it in the opening segment. Walt Weiss, when the Braves got their 8-6 comeback victory over the Colorado Rockies in the first game of that series when they were down 6-0, came back and won 8-6. He talked about how you got to win some games that you feel like you shouldn't have won, but you were able to steal. Got to win a few of those over the course of a 162-game season. Well, that was kind of the opposite last night. That one was one that you felt like you should have won, and you felt like the Mariners stole from you. So, again, it all just came down to a couple of bad, you know, a couple of walks, bad pitch and mistake from J.R. Richie, rough inning from him, and then a rough mistake from Tyler Kinley as well in a bad spot. So, tough inning, tough bottom of the sixth. After a great top of the sixth, it was a rough bottom of the sixth for the Braves, and hopefully they can bounce back tonight again. You got Bryce Elder on the mound going up against It's George Kirby tonight. Logan Gilbert was last night. I was getting all the names jumbled up in my head, but it will be Bryce Elder on the mound tonight for the Bravos, like I said, and then you're going to have George Kirby on the mound for the Mariners. So, again, hopefully they can bounce back, get the win tonight, then go get the series win on Wednesday. Why not? Keep that streak alive as being the only team in Major League Baseball to not lose a series yet this season. But I do want to talk a little NFL with you here on a Tuesday before we get up on out of here. And we got a little bit of news coming out of the Shield yesterday. How about this? Tyrod Taylor, he is going to the Green Bay Packers, and he's signing with the Packers to essentially probably be their new backup quarterback, it seems like. All signs point to that. After, obviously, Malik Willis goes to the Miami Dolphins, signed with the Dolphins in free agency. Tyrod Taylor signing with the Packers before they did sign Tyrod yesterday, though, who is 36, if you're wondering. Been around the game for a minute, but still doing it at a pretty good level. Has, you know, been a pretty good backup quarterback throughout these last few years. Before signing Tyrod Taylor, the only other quarterbacks the Packers had on the roster were, guess who? I'll give you one guess. Who else did the Packers have on the roster? It was, yep, if you guessed, Desmond Ridder. You were correct. D. Ridder, the Cincinnati kid. Also, a Packers quarterback right now. I didn't know he was on the Packers. I learned out literally just 5 seconds ago that he was also on the Packers. Did not know that. So, the more you know, Desmond Ridder, currently a quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. Kyle McCord, also a quarterback for the Packers right now. Those are the only two quarterbacks on the roster for the Packers before they, obviously along with Jordan Love, before they signed Tyrod Taylor. So, yeah, if you're choosing between Tyrod Taylor, Desmond Ridder, Kyle McCord, as far as who's going to be your backup, respectfully, you would probably want Tyrod Taylor to be that guy. So, you know, even though D. Ridder, the Cincinnati kid, and Kyle McCord were on the roster already, I think Tyrod Taylor most likely has been brought in to be the backup QB, if I had to guess. Anywho, the Packers got their backup quarterback, it looks like, in Tyrod Taylor. One piece of news that is a little bit interesting to me, and maybe this is just in good faith that this quarterback is working in as he's shown up finally to, oh, actually, shout out to Abe Gordon. He just let me know they cut Ridder after signing Tyrod. So D. Ridder, the Cincinnati kid, no longer on the Green Bay Packers. So I did not see that in the ESPN article I looked at. Thank you, Abe. But there you go. D. Ridder, Cincinnati kid, now a free agent. So we'll see where he ends up landing if he lands somewhere. So shout out to Abe for the assist on that one. All right, going back to Anthony Richardson, he has ended his absence from the Colts voluntary offseason workouts. He has been home the past 2 weeks, which I did not expect him to show up at all, figuring, you know, obviously the Colts didn't pick up his fifth-year option because they just signed Daniel Jones, and Daniel Jones is going to be the quarterback of the future. They gave Anthony Richardson, you know, the okay, the green light to go and look for a trade, and it just seems like there's no reason for him to show up, but maybe he's doing this in good faith to get the Colts to help him facilitate a trade to a team that he would want to go to. That's the only reason I can think that he would want to show up. But again, maybe just doing this in good faith and showing not only the Colts, but showing other teams that, look, he's still going to, you know, come in and not going to obviously be a distraction and still obviously put in the work. So maybe that was the reason for it, and we'll see. But back in February, he was granted permission to speak with other teams about a potential deal, and we'll see if he gets that deal and if the trade can get done, if he can end up finding a home elsewhere and maybe get a chance to compete for a starting job somewhere. I don't know if that place is out there, but at least I'm sure can find a spot to be a backup quarterback somewhere. We'll see. But Anthony Richardson has shown up to the Colts voluntary offseason workouts after a 2-week absence. So we'll see how that ends up happening for him. Stephon Diggs, do want to bring him up here. His attorney says that the assault that he is on trial for, it was alleged that he slapped and choked his chef during a dispute at home. Stephon Diggs' attorney is saying that assault never happened as their trial began. So, again, the chef who accused Stephon Diggs of assault took the stand yesterday on the first day of his trial, testifying that the former New England Patriot wide receiver slapped and choked her during a dispute at home. And Diggs' defense attorney told jurors the attack never happened. Jamila Adams, who goes by Mila, testified that Diggs came into her bedroom at his house and smacked me with an open hand, that's a quote from her, before wrapping his arm around her neck and choking her, leaving her struggling to breathe. The alleged attack came hours after the two had exchanged a series of angry texts over Adams being left off a trip to Miami where Diggs was taking his entourage for a week. Says, quote, when I went up to block him, he took his arms and came around my neck and began to choke me. That's what Jamila Adams said, growing emotional as she described what she called an assault. So, look, not a good look either way for Stephon Diggs, and definitely never want to be in the news for these type of things, and it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. But either way it goes, not a good look for Stephon Diggs. So, obviously, got to let the legal system play out. You don't want to make any early assumptions about what did or did not happen, but either way it goes, not a good look. So, we'll see how that plays out. Those are some NFL headlines for you. I appreciate you all tuning in. That is my time. We're about to hand things off to The Morning Shift. Again, it's a meathead edition of The Morning Shift. Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, ready to hop in the saddle and attain you for the next 3 hours. I'll be hanging out with them as well. That's what's coming up next here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Until I talk to y'all tomorrow on a hump day Wednesday, happy Cinco de Mayo. Go get your tequila. Go get you maybe a margarita, some tacos, burritos, whatever floats your boat, whatever your Cinco de Mayo traditions may be. I hope you all have a great Cinco de Mayo. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. And until I talk to y'all tomorrow on a hump day Wednesday, Noel, I appreciate you. Y'all have a great day. Peace.